Welcome back. We're going to go ahead and get started. We would like to take this time to go ahead and thank our generous sponsors of the School for Successful Ranching for their support of this program and their commitment to producer education. There are small displays set up in the hallway on this floor, and we ask that you visit their booths in the expo and please say thank you. We cannot do this program without them. Our sponsors include Capital Farm Credit, Cattlemen's Education Series, Corteva, Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo, Lone Star Ag Credit, Positive Feeds, Rabo Agrifinance, Stay Tough Fence Manufacturing, and Texas Beef Quality Assurance. Our next presentation is Weaning. A few more days may bring more dollars for your calves, presented by Dr. Jason Banta with Texas A&M AgriLife. Please join me in welcoming Dr. Banta.
Thank you, Logan. How's that volume? Good? Everybody awake? Okay. All right. We're going to keep this real informal, so at any point in time you have a question, stop and ask me, and I'll be more than happy to answer it. Because if you're anything like me, if you try to wait on that question, I end up forgetting the question, and then I forget what was just covered as well. So like I said, don't hesitate and stop and ask me. So when we talk about weaning calves, why do we wean calves? There's a lot of reasons. I'm going to tell you, number one, as a cow-calf producer, it's kind of the right thing to do. All right? But number two, if we do it right, we can actually increase the value of those calves and make a lot of money doing it. So the goals of our weaning program is to prepare those calves to perform as stocker calves, feeder calves, or replacement heifers. So what we're really looking at there is reduced health problems, increased performance of those animals, and then for cow-calf producers, increased value. All right? Back up here a minute. How many of you have weaned calves? How many of you keep replacement heifers? Realize if we can keep a replacement heifer, we can wean that steer calf. I'll run into a lot of people, they'll keep replacement heifers, but they say, I just can't wean. Well, no difference between weaning that replacement heifer and keeping her versus weaning that steer calf. So just a little food for thought and a little challenge there. So goals during our weaning period, I want to keep those calves growing, and I actually want to grow them at a moderate rate. So when I'm talking about a weaning period, I'm talking 45 to 60 days. I'm not looking to try to get 3.5 pounds of weight gain a day on those calves. Not during that period of time. What my goal is to wean them and just keep them growing and keep that immune system working. So 3/4 to 1.5 pounds a day. I want to keep my cost down. I want to keep the rumen healthy. And that's one of those challenges. If I'm trying to really push that performance, usually I'm not keeping that rumen as healthy as I'd like it to be. And then I want to optimize the immune function of those calves. That gets back to that health component we're talking about. So what are going to be some of the factors that influence what age we're going to wean our calves? Well, what's the body condition of that cow? If those cows start getting too thin, even if it's not the traditional time we need to wean or that we need to wean at that point in time. So I'm going to tell you, for me, if those cows drop below a body condition score 4, that's my signal it's time to wean those calves. It's a whole lot more efficient to feed the calves and the cows separately at that point in time. Maybe conditions are great, that cow's nice and fat. I can leave that calf on there longer, let it gain some more weight. But then what I'm thinking about is I need to wean at least 60 days before that cow calves again. And the reason I need to do it in that situation is I need time for that mammary gland to recover. And most importantly, I need time for her to start producing colostrum and building that colostrum that next calf's going to need. Because remember, those calves were born without an immune system, so they get that immunity from that colostrum. All right? If I leave one on there, because I'll have people say, well, this cow just had a calf and she's still nursing, and they are excited about it. Well, the problem is that one that's nursing has now taken all the colostrum from that newborn, and now that newborn's not going to perform. So even if everything's fat and in good shape, we want to wean at least 60 days before our next calving date. Maybe because of your marketing plan, there's a certain time we're going to wean to meet a sale or to meet a contract or something like that. Generally, most of the time we're looking at weaning at 6 to 8 months of age, but we can vary that depending on conditions some. And then calendar date. Maybe because of the things going on in your operation, it makes sense that we need to go ahead and wean on this date, even though we have enough grass or those cows in good enough condition. But because other things I got going on, this is the time it needs to happen. All right? Sometimes we do need to look at weaning from a reproduction standpoint. And so I was talking to somebody the other day, and they told me, they said, well, you just can't get a heifer rebred unless you early wean those kids at 60 days of age. I said, yeah, you can. If we have her in good condition prior to calving, there's absolutely no reason we can't get those heifers rebred at the same rate of those cows, all right? If we get in a drought or something and those females aren't as thin, or aren't the condition they need to be, they're too thin, whether it's the heifers or the cows, if I need to early wean from a reproduction standpoint, I need to wean that calf by 60 days of age. And they can be weaned at that point in time. Now, there's a little different diet we're going to put them on, but we can definitely wean them at that point in time. If we're talking about the cows, again, from a drought standpoint, that same 60 days of age is what matters. Because what do we think about gestation length on a cow? Keep it simple. I'm going to use 285. I realize some of our breeds are shorter than that. But if gestation length is 285, we got 365 days in the year. How long after calving we have to get that cow bred by how many days so we can maintain that yearly calving interval? So 365 minus 285. I know it's early yet. 80 days, okay? So to maintain that yearly calving interval, we got to get her rebred within 80 days. If I wait past that to wean that calf, I've automatically got that cow off schedule, all right? So that's why 60 days, we got to do it then. We get that calf off. Even those thin cows, generally we can jump start them into cycling at that point in time. Maybe we're in a situation we've already got them bred and they're cycling, but from a drought standpoint or whatever reason, we're running short on forage, so we need to save some forage supplies in that situation. Then we may look at weaning at 3 to 6 months of age, anywhere in there, just from a forage saving standpoint. All right? Just some more examples of a body condition score cow. So what's the difference? Why is this one easier to look at than this one? Okay, they're both red, so it's not color. So does this one have very much hair? No. Does this one have some hair? Absolutely. So we have to look through that hair. So those two cows are the exact same body condition. Both of them would be a body condition score 4. Sometimes we think this cow's in better shape than what she really is because we haven't looked through the hair. So if we look at her, what makes her a body condition score, in my mind, is we see the transverse spinous processes, that little shelf right there in front of the hook bone. And what kind of steak would we get out of that area? All right, what kind of steaks do you like to eat? So I heard ribeye. So where would a ribeye come from? It's going to come from right up here. What other steaks? All right, tenderloin. So our tenderloin is going to come from the bottom side of it, and it's going to be in here and work its way through this area. What do we get if we put a ribeye and a tenderloin together in the same steak? We get a T-bone, okay? And so that T-bone is going to come from right there, all right? And so if this cow was thinner than this, we could actually see each bone of that T-bone. And if you can count the T-bones, she's going to be a body condition score 3 or less, and that's definitely too thin. What we see on a body condition score 4 is we have some muscle tissue that's filled back in between each one of those bones, but that ribeye, or actually ribeye and the loin eye is the same muscle. It's just back here we call it a loin eye. That loin eye hasn't started really building back up yet. All right? So you see that kind of thin shelf, so we see the edge of the transverse spinous process, and then the vertebrae up here, the spinous process, we see that edge. That's a body condition score 4 cow to me. The other thing you can see is see that hook bone, or we may call that the hip bone, how sharp that is and how we've lost some muscle tissue here. Again, body condition score 4. So if the cows are thinner than this, we need to be looking at weaning calves. All right? Why am I worried about body condition scores so much when you thought you were coming from a weaning presentation here today? Because body condition score body condition score at or just prior to calving is going to be the most important thing on pregnancy rates on cows. All right? So this is on mature cows. So the purpose of this study, I'd say cows 4 years of age or older. If we look at pregnancy rates going up the vertical axis, we look at body condition scores going across the horizontal axis. Body condition score 2, we're looking at maybe 10% of those cows bred. Body condition score of 3, we're in that 35 to 40. Can we pay bills at those levels? What that tells us is on those cows 4 years of age or older, I need those in a body condition score of 5 or greater to optimize my reproductive rates in those cows. If I'm talking about 2 or 3 year old females, I need them in a 6 or greater at calving to optimize pregnancy rates. So that's how this fits together. If that body condition on those cows starts dropping too low, I got to wean that calf so I can get that cow set up for the next go round. So just to kind of let you see a pattern on a spring calving or a late winter calving cow, got her in here, started at a body condition score 6, so I'm above my 5 on that mature cow. From calving to weaning, she's gradually going to lose weight. There may be times she's a little flatter, but generally she's going to lose weight. I'm going to wean that calf, and roughly in this situation, I'm going to have about 90 days to get her back into shape before we get in the winter, and we're just trying to hold her till she calves again. If I let her get down here, it's too hard to make that gap up, or I got to spend way too much money in feed to try to make that gap up. All right? So that's how the body condition score of that cow and weaning of those calves interacts there. So benefits of weaning, we mentioned reduced health problems. Is that going to be more and more important as we move forward? It's always been important, but it's going to even be more important because are we getting more resistance from consumers about using antibiotics in livestock production? Absolutely. Well, if we do a good job of weaning these calves, we reduce the likelihood of them to get sick at the next stage of production. Improved performance. Improved market timing. All right, what do I mean by that? So when are most of the calves in the U.S. born? I mean, born in the spring. So when are they sold? In the fall. And what happens when we try to sell a lot of something at one point in time? It drops the price a little bit. One thing that naturally happens in most years with weaning those spring-born calves is by weaning them, we shift them out of that prime time when everybody's selling and actually catch that market generally going back up. And so it improves the timing from a price standpoint, potentially, on those calves. Reduces shrink. This may be one of the biggest ones. So if we take an unweaned calf and we separate it, put it on a trailer, and haul it to an auction market, how much weight do you think that calf's going to lose? And that weight that it's losing, we're going to call that shrink. What percentage? So I heard 10. Anything else? All right. 8 to 12% is generally what I figure. So 10% is a pretty good estimate. By weaning those calves, we can reduce that shrink tremendously. Are we going to eliminate it? No. Can we reduce it? Absolutely. And just that, even if those calves don't bring any more money for being weaned, just reducing that shrink puts more dollars in our pocket. All right? And then in a lot of situations, if we market them, those calves through the right type of sale, we can actually increase their value in those situations. All right. So on the next slide, the 8 to 12% I was talking about, how do we reduce that shrink? We need to wean those calves for at least 45 days. So most preconditioned cells are going to require a minimum 45 days. Some of them have started going to 60-day minimum requirement on weaning. We need to make sure, even weaned calves or unweaned calves, whatever they are, we need to reduce the stress of gathering and handling those calves as much as possible. If it's a rodeo to get them out of the pasture and get them in the pens, and get them on the trailer, our shrink goes up tremendously. Even if it's not a rodeo, but it takes a little effort, our shrink goes up. Because what do cattle do when they get nervous? They urinate and they defecate. You're losing money every time they defecate and urinate. So if we can keep them calm when we're handling them and reduce that stress, we'll help our shrink. Minimize the amount of time between when those animals are gathered and when they're weighed. So some people will want to take those calves, whether they're weaned or unweaned, and put them in a dry lot overnight and then haul them to the auction market the next day. We've just increased that length that they're not eating well tremendously. So we want to shorten that up. And the biggest thing, especially on a weaned calf, you need to work with your marketing facility. All right. Now, if you're selling them off the ranch on video, you have all the control over that. But if you're taking them to town and selling them, you may actually want to take those calves in early. So I'll tell you, on our family operation, we sell in a preconditioned calf sale. I actually send those calves to that auction facility a week before they're going to be sold. And the reason I do that is because I have over a two-hour haul on that on those calves to get to that facility. Is they start, so I ship them on a Wednesday, they sell on the next Wednesday, they start weighing and sorting calves on Friday. They'll do it on Friday, Saturday, Monday, Tuesday, and then they sell on Wednesday. I want those calves in there 48 hours before they weigh them so that they can fill back up. And when we do that, did I have to pay for some feeding in that situation? Yes. But when I do that, when I weigh those calves at the ranch and then they get weighed at the auction market, as long as I have them weaned, those calves are eating well, those calves have gained back every bit of the weight they'd lost during transport. So they weigh basically the same thing when they weigh them at the sale versus when I weigh them at home. Okay? But you have to visit with your facility ahead of time, make sure they're willing to do that, and they can do that. Now, like I said, it costs me some feed there, but when I look at the feed cost versus the shrink difference, I make more money paying for that extra feed there. All right? So just a little planning you have to do ahead of time. So what are some methods we wean calves? What is the most common method to wean calves? Not the best, but the most common. The most common is often the trailer ride to the auction facility. We're losing a tremendous amount of money doing that. All right? Plus, it's not the best thing for the animal. So that's one way to do it. All right? And if you're trailering them from one ranch to another ranch, that's not as big of a deal. But when we trailer them from the ranch they were raised on to an auction facility and commingle them with a bunch of other animals, that is a big deal and a very big negative in that situation. So we could use a corral. All right, if we're going to do that, do we want to put the calf in the corral or do we want to put the cows in the corral? We're going to take a vote. All right. Who wants to put the cow in the corral? Who wants to put the calf in the corral? Who says, I'm not real sure where you're going, so I'm hesitate to raise my hand and vote here. Okay, I could see that on some faces. I'm going to surprise you a little bit. I'm actually going to put the corral, or the cow, in the corral. Why would I put the cow in there and not the calf? Well, let's think about it. What happens when your kids or your grandkids go off to school for the first time? Do they all get sick usually? Because we put everybody in a confined environment, and when them get sick, it spreads throughout everybody. Well, that's what we just done to those calves, is put them all in that confined corral. A lot of times it's dusty in there. Who can handle that better? The cow can handle those conditions much better. So if you're going to do that, those calves aren't going to go anywhere. If you're worried about them running through fences, they're going to stay near where those cows are. All right? That's not the way I do it, but if you're going to do it, that's an option. What about weaning them in a pasture? So we put the calves in this pasture, we skip two pastures and put the cows. Sounds like a really good idea. What happens to those who have tried that? You get to rebuild fence, because I will promise you some of those cows are going to try to find their way back to those calves, and most of the time some of them are successful. All right? So while that seems like a good idea, that usually turns into a pretty frustrating situation. Some people like to use a mechanical device where they put it in the nose and keep the calf from suckling. I'm not a big fan of those, okay, because I got to handle those animals extra. Plus, I wouldn't want to be that cow with that calf butting me in the udder with that deal in its nose to keep it from suckling. And it's not so much, in my mind, taking the milk away from them. It's just that separation. So while that may help a little bit, it's not at the top of my list. What my preferred method is, by far, is fence line weaning. What is fence line weaning? I'm going to put the calves on one side of the fence. I'm going to put the cows on the other side of the fence. And by doing that, they can see each other. They can smell each other. They'll stay calmer. They'll walk the fence much less in that situation. If you ever try this and do it correctly, you won't ever go back to another type of weaning. Now, I mentioned something doing correctly. So I'll tell a little story real quick. I had a gentleman call me one day, new to the cattle business, because I need to wean calves, what I want to do. So I told him fence line weaning, told him how to do it. Well, he did it. I didn't hear back from him, but later that year, he's at Beef Cattle Short Course in College Station, and Dr. Gill is talking about fence line weaning. And this guy goes off. He's like, that doesn't work. That's the worst thing ever. Well, as the conversation goes on, it took 8 hours to separate the cows from the calves. Well, yeah, if you don't do it right, it takes you that long to separate them, it ain't going to work, and you ain't going to be happy. Okay? But if you'll do it calmly and easily, fence line weaning works really well. All right? What type of fence do you need? Pipe fence work great. Net wire fence will work great. Good barbed wire fence will work. All right? I'm not going to recommend it to most of you, but you could actually do it with the electric fence and nothing else. I've actually weaned some calves that way. All right? I will tell you, in our family operation, we wean calves on the worst fence we have on the property. It is a 5-strand smooth wire fence. I did not build that fence. It was built when we bought that piece of property. You're thinking, well, Jason, why the heck are you weaning calves there? Because it is the best location I have from a shade and water standpoint, right? Because we have fall barn calves. I'm weaning May or early June. I need good shade on both sides of that fence, but especially on where those calves are. I'll tell you, the first few years, we may have had 1, 2, 3 crawl through the fence. Not a big deal. Don't panic. Wait a day because you may have another one crawl through, then sort them out and go back through. Or I went ahead and just put 1 strand of electric fence on that and had a calf crawl through in the last probably 13, 14 years. Okay? When I was in grad school at Oklahoma State, the fence we weaned on was a barbed wire fence with cedar posts that was so old you couldn't drive a staple into that post anymore. We'd have to wire it up. Right? We'd wean typically 200 calves at a time. We'd have some crawl through that fence. All right, if that calf gets a nurse an extra day or two, it is not the end of the world. If you have one that keeps crawling through the fence, well, then maybe you take that calf and haul it and put it in the corral somewhere. I tell you those stories so you realize you don't have to have the best fence in the world to do it. Is it easier with the better fence? Absolutely. Okay, but you don't have to have the best fence in the world to fence line wean those calves. So what are some tips and thoughts for success? We really need to pay attention to that environment we're weaning those calves in. Dust. What happens when those calves are exposed to more dust? We get more respiratory illness in them. And so that goes back to the strategy on the corral, putting those calves outside the corral and putting the calves inside. Shade is a huge one in Texas, okay? I want to make sure those calves have good shade. And so when I'm selecting that place to wean those calves, especially on fence line weaning, I want shade on the fence line where those calves are going to be a large portion of the day. Okay? I don't want them out there. I don't want them getting hot. I don't want to put them in a muddy corral or somewhere where those calves are having to wade through a lot of mud. That makes that process more difficult. And then I want to reduce that animal crowding. I want those calves to be able to spread out and not be packed in to that smaller, more confined area. any animal health practices that I'm going to conduct, whether that's castration, vaccination, dehorning, I don't want to do any of that on the day we wean calves. Okay? Castration, we need to have that done on those calves before they're 300 pounds. All right? Birth works really well if that fits your situation and your cow herd, but for sure less than 300 pounds. I want to get at least one round of vaccine in those calves before weaning. I'll tell you, if you wean those calves and you do it right on your own ranch, what's the likelihood of those calves getting sick? Very, very low. So I'll tell you, for years what we would do is put one round in before weaning. We'd separate those calves, and about 10 days after the weaning date, we'd bring them back in for that second round. Now, because of some timing on some other things, I just go ahead and get two rounds in them before weaning, and we don't have to bring them back in. But I don't mind a bit waiting 10 days or 2 weeks and bringing them back in to get that second dose, especially if I'm putting a modified live virus in them. Dehorning, the best way is going to be to do that by genetics. But if you can't do it genetically, then get them done at 3 to 4 months of age. If you hadn't gathered, I don't want you doing anything on weaning day other than separating the calves from the cows. All right? Because that reduces our stress more than anything. So that guy I told you had the big wreck, well, they spent half the morning gathering those cows. Then they run all the cows and all the calves through the chute, and then they try to push them back to the pastures they're going. And by that time, those calves don't know whether they're coming or going, and the cows are the same way, and everything's so stirred up it took a wreck. But even if you can do it calmly, I don't like doing anything on weaning day other than separating those two. Let's get those other management practices taken care of ahead of time. And I already mentioned we want to wean for at least 45 to 60 days. The preconditioned calf cells, most of them are going to require that. The theme you've heard and you're going to continue to hear quite a bit is calm and quiet. All right? And so there's a fence in the background. All right? Cows on one side, calf on the other side. How long after weaning do you think these pictures were taken? So those calves are out there grazing. Think that's hours? You think that's days? Weeks? Okay. If you do it right on fence line weaning, you'll have some of those calves out there grazing immediately. Okay. Those pictures, all three of them were taken within about an hour of weaning those calves. Okay. And the ones you can see here are probably, 125, 135 yards off the fence where they're weaned. Now, there's something in this picture that's not good and not ideal. What's not good in that picture? Does it look like there's very much grass in those pastures? There's not much grass at all, okay? And we need to plan ahead and make sure there's grass. Now, I'll tell you, those are calves off of a family operation, so why do I not have any grass? That was 2011. So that was the best, even as bad as that pasture looks where those calves are, that's the best pasture we had. Now, I did some other things from a nutritional standpoint at that point in time, but normally I would want to manage my grazing so I have really good pasture at that point in time. Yes, ma'am. Problems. Okay. So, yeah. And if you didn't hear, the question was, if we calf in the spring, we maybe wean in September, October, and especially if it's October, you said forage quality is going down and weather's going bad. And I'm going to hold that question for just a minute and show you something, how we can make that forage quality work really well for us. All right? Good question. The other thing you commented in there, which is something very important, we talked about, they were vaccinated, but some of them still got sick. Realize vaccines are not 100%. They reduce the risk of us having a major problem, but if we stress the system too much, we can overwhelm any kind of a vaccine program. All right? Another year, but same timeline. You can see we got some of them up at the fence with the cows. We got some of them spread out across the pasture. We got a little bit of walking going on, a little bit of walking here. And you're going to have some of that, but it will not be near as much in a fence line weaning situation. And I'll tell you, the bawling, the darn cows will generally bawl more than what those calves will when you get fence line weaning done correctly. This group of calves here was probably 250 yards away from the fence where they are. And that's where, you know, we got much better grass, and that's what we'd rather have. That was last year versus 2011. How big of a pasture do I want to wean them in? I don't want it too big. I don't want it too small. Ideally, for most operations, if we're talking about weaning 100 calves or less, 5 to 20 acres. If we're more than that, then I may be a 50-acre pasture. But I don't want to dump them out there in a 500-acre pasture. That's going to make it too hard, all right? But at least 5 acres, regardless of how many. But up to 20 in a lot of situations, or up to 50 in some other situations. And think about that shade situation, and can we get them there, and we get them out of there. The other thing is, where do we want water in relation to that? I don't want those calves to have to go a long distance to water, okay? I want that. It doesn't have to be next to the fence, but I want it where those calves can go get water and still see and hear those cows and encourage them to drink. Now, sometimes you'll have people tell you, if you wean them in a corral, you're supposed to put, they say, to put the fence, the feed bunks along the edge of the fence so they'll run into them and eat. All my experience has been anytime somebody tries that, is they just run into the bunk and it causes more problem. It doesn't encourage them to eat. What encourages them to eat is training them to eat before we wean them, and then they'll go to feed early. Okay? I just mentioned training. So how do we need to train them? It may cost you a little bit of money, but I'm convinced it's worth it. And for those of you who know me, I have a reputation for being a cheap individual. And I have no problem saying that. It is a well-earned reputation. Because when it comes to entertainment or clothing or going out to eat, I'm cheap. When it comes to something in a cow-calf operation or ag enterprise, if I can get a return on investment with spending money, I have no problem spending money as long as I get a return on investment. And I'm convinced I get a good return on investment teaching those calves how to eat. I will tell you, if you will feed those pairs together at least 3 to 5 times before weaning those calves will know what that feed bunk is, or that if you're running cubes out on the ground, and cubes out on the ground doesn't work as well with calves, they just don't eat that big cube as well. They will remember that, and they'll go on feed much easier. Now, 15 years ago, I would have told you I would have guessed we need to do it for 2 to 3 weeks. But experience has shown me I can do it with as little as 3 to 5 feedings on those calves. The other thing that will happen, and this one really amazed me the first time we ran into it, we were in a dry year, so we were having to feed pairs, and those calves were 2 to 3 months of age. Got some rain, so grass grew, didn't have to feed. So we went for about 3 months without those calves seeing any feeding. And on weaning day, I started them off. Half those calves walked to the feed bunk and looked at me. They remembered it from that long ago. So it doesn't have to, if you had to feed them previously, I'm not saying you have to do it right again at weaning. It won't hurt if you do, but at least 3 to 5 times prior to weaning, and those calves will come to that feed bunk much quicker for you. Some people will actually use a creep gate. So I'm not a big fan of trying to use creep feed in this situation, but the pasture I'm going to wean in, you could take and put a creep gate in between it and the pasture the cows are in. Those bigger calves, they are grazing plenty at that point in time. Where's the better grass going to be? Where the whole cow herd's grazing or where only a few calves are grazing. Only a few calves. So they'll actually walk there in those in that other pasture. And you'll see those older calves, they may spend overnight in that pasture and then come back. They're not nursing, you know, every few hours. They're only nursing a few times during the day. I've actually, one year on my parents' place, I just caught all the calves grazing and we shut the gate where the creek gate was and didn't have to sort anything. Everything sorted themselves on their own. Now, as you get more cows and in bigger groups, that doesn't work for me, but in smaller groups, you can do that. All right? So just look at some of those options. Or if you wanted to, you could even put some feed bunks on the other side and feed those calves in there for a little bit and get them used to coming through. So there's some things to think about and some strategies you can use. I mentioned this a little bit, but mention it some more. Easy access to good drinking water. Okay? Whether that's a stream or a creek, that's fine as long as they don't have to go a long way to it. A water trough, a pond, all right? I don't want a real dirty, muddy pond, all right? All ponds are going to have some dirt in it, but you know what I'm talking about. Some of them look much worse than others, all right? If I'm going to be using a water trough, just make sure they've seen that water trough before I wean them so they're used to what that is. Generally, we don't have those kind of problems unless we're out in extensive range environments where cattle are having to go a long way to water. Those calves don't see people as much. They don't see those kind of things as much. Sometimes we'll get into a problem there. But most of the time, they figure out what that water trough is really quick. All right, so nutrition. And I'm going to show you something different than you often think because most people think I want to get the most weight on them during the weaning period. We don't want to do that. Remember, we're owning them a short period of time. Okay? So we can't get them stepped up to those levels in time. The other thing is, sometimes, depending on what we're paying on feed, we actually spend more money on feed than what that additional gain is worth. And I'll show you that here in a minute. So that's why I like a moderate rate of gain. And I'll tell you, I want to do as much of it on grass as possible. So, to keep those costs down, you've seen this slide, you're going to see it again, and you may see it again before it's out, all right? Because I got to control cost, and I got to manage these two things, rumen health and immune function. And that, folks, that rumen health is huge. What are cattle made to eat? They're made to eat grass, not grain. So when we go to grain, especially rapidly fermentable grain sources, we got to do that slowly, all right? Otherwise, we cause some problems. So what is value of gain? So let's say a 500-pound calf is bringing $1.88 a pound. All right. That 560-pound calf is bringing $1.77. And these are actual prices from a preconditioned sale, a really big one, that I pulled just a few weeks ago. That additional weight I put on that calf, what is it worth? Is it worth $1.88? Is it worth $1.77? Is it worth something else? Okay? It's definitely worth something else, much lower than this $1.77. So a lot of times when we're looking back and evaluating operations, they'll say, well, I've spent this much money on feed, but I put this much weight on, and it was bringing $1.77 a pound. I made money. And I look at them and run some numbers and say, you lost money. Well, how'd I lose money on that? Well, because the value of gain is not $1.77. What the value of gain in this scenario is actually 85 cents. Now, how did I figure that? Well, what we have to figure is, what was the value of the 500-pound calf? All right? $940 per head. What he weighed times the price, $940 in value. That 560-pound calf is $991.20. Okay? 560 times 177. What did I change the value in those two weights? So 991.20 minus 940, I changed the value $51.20. This is strictly from a weight standpoint, not any premiums for doing anything else. So I increased value for $51.20. I increased the weight 560 minus 560 pounds So 5120 divided by 60 is 85 cents. Each additional pound of gain I put on that calf with these prices like this is only worth 85 cents. Does that make sense? And that's why a lot of people end up losing money, because they don't figure this the way we need to. I will tell you, long term, this runs about 80 cents. All right? Now, it will fluctuate. If corn prices get really high, value of gain goes up because the slide in cattle weight goes down. But when corn's cheap, value of gain is not worth as much. So always figure that out. But like I said, a rough rule is about 80 cents per pound. Make sure those calves have good access to mineral. Okay? And calves will use a bulletproof mineral feeder. All right? Any of these others is fine. If you weren't here in the last session, this one down here, I told that group you can only use that in a low rainfall environment. If you try to use that open top container in a high rainfall environment, you got a mess on your hands. Okay? So we'll just recap for those who were here before, new for people who just came in. The nice thing about these, or their advantages, is the bulls can't tear them up. What's the disadvantage of this type of feeder? You got to get out of the pickup or off the ATV to check it, and you got to lift the top up. Okay? The other big thing on calves is, especially those fall barn calves that we're weaning May or June, put that in the shade, because that black rubber mat will get plenty hot. All right? Wind vane feeder works great for calves, doesn't work so well for bulls. This works great too, has a little cost. You can see this one's playing in it. You got front 2 feet up in the middle feeder. Those kind of things happen with calves, but we definitely want to provide them some good mineral supplement during that weaning period. So I told you we're going to come back to the grass question here in a minute, and now we're here. So if we look at this, I told you we have to plan that grazing program so that we have the best quality pasture available for those calves when weaning. So if we're on introduced forages, so things like Bermuda grass, Bahia grass, Dallas grass, Old World blue stems, and Old World blue stems would be things like KR blue stem, King Ranch blue stem, WW Beadle. Any of those introduced type forages, I want to graze, and then I want 3 to 5 weeks of regrowth on that pasture when I get ready to put those calves in there. All right? Now, you'll have some people that will tell you, well, put the pears in there for a couple days before you wean the calves so that those calves get used to that pasture. Well, that part of it sounds good. But from a nutrition standpoint, we've just hurt ourselves, because what's going to happen? Those cows, putting those pears in there, are going to graze all the best quality forage, and I'll have lower quality forage for my calves. So if you're going to do that, I'd only put them in there for a few hours. I'll tell you, I haven't found that to really be a benefit, and so that's not something we ever do. But definitely manage. Native range, it's a little easier. As long as you haven't ranged rain, we can let that forage grow longer and it'd be pretty good. All right? So the question came up earlier on Bermuda grass. In the fall, the quality goes down, right? I'm going to tell you the quality actually goes up in the fall. And I know that, well, so we can't equate green with quality, all right? But even green, it's going to change in quality and go back up in the fall. So when we talk about a warm season perennial forage, so Bermuda grass, Bahia grass, little blue stem, big blue stem, any of those forages, what we see, and this chart right here happens to be coastal Bermuda, common Bermuda, and then Bahia grass, is just realize as we move up, higher quality, and then we're going from April to November here. So if we were making hay, what hay cuttings do we want to have? If we made 4 hay cuttings, do you want the first one, second one, third one, or fourth one? Who wants first? Who wants second? Who wants third? Who wants fourth? How many of you say, I'm getting more and more hesitant as you go to raise my hand? Okay? I'm going to tell you from a cow nutrition standpoint, I want the first cutting or the fourth cutting. The second and third are the prettiest and have the least amount of weeds in them. But from a quality standpoint, they're cut during the summertime. And as temperatures increase, even if we have this under a pivot, the same thing happens. That quality goes down. All right? We get more lignin deposition in that plant, and that quality goes down. So as we go into the fall, that grass is still growing. It may not be growing as fast. The quality actually is going back up on it. All right? Now, what happens when it frosts? It turns it brown. Does that hurt the quality? Absolutely not. All that does is stop it from growing. So I'm going to tell you, if we stockpile forage, that works really well to wean those spring barn calves on. And what do I mean by stockpile forage? Is on these introduced forages, I'm going to graze or hay it off somewhere around the first part of September, depending on where I'm at, and then I'm going to let it grow till frost. And I'm going to typically get maybe 45 to 70 days of growth on it. All right? And once I graze it off, I need to fertilize it with at least 60 pounds of actual nitrogen. So if you're using something like ammonium nitrate 3400, I'd put 200 pounds on there. That's 68 pounds of actual nitrogen. But if I'll stockpile it and do that correctly, I have very high-quality forage to wean those calves on. And for years, when we had a spring calving herd in addition to the fall herd, that's what I did, is wean them on stockpile forage. Okay? I'm going to get there. Yep, I'm going to get there. So this is our stockpile forage. Now, if you see this drop here, what that drop is, and this was a grazing study this was done on, as they graze it off and eat the better parts, we have lower and lower quality portion of that plant left, and that's all you're seeing here. Okay? So on high-quality pasture, what am I going to feed? I'm only going to feed to improve gains or teach those cattle how to eat, because on the high-quality pasture, they're gaining good weight. I'm going to feed 1 to 2 pounds of an energy chop supplement per day. Start them off at 1/2 pound to 3/4 pound, and then build them up to 2 if you want. And when we're feeding these energy supplements, one way we can tell we don't need any protein is look at the manure patty. And if that patty hits the ground and splatters, that tells me I have plenty of protein in that forage and in that diet. If that patty hits the ground and starts stacking up and getting tall and firm, I know I need some protein, and that would change my supplementation. So high-quality forage, 1 to 2 pounds of energy supplement. I'm going to tell you, in this situation, all I'm going to do is feed those calves just enough to break them to the bunk, and then they're not going to get any more feed. All they're going to get is grass during that time. That's my most profitable scenario, generally speaking, in that situation. All right? If I have medium-quality or low-quality pasture, I'm going to feed to increase intake and digestibility of that forage. So I'm going to feed 1 to 1.5 pounds of a higher protein supplement. And so that's something like cottonseed meal or soybean meal generally. And I'll tell you, there's going to be some other reasons I like feeding those too. But 1 to 1.5 pounds of a higher protein supplement per day. If I'm on high quality hay, and you need to test your hay if you're going to wean on hay so we get the best quality, I'd rather wean on the stockpiled forage. But if I have to wean on hay, high-quality hay, again, 1 to 3 pounds of an energy supplement. A lot of people think, well, I want to go to alfalfa. I'm going to tell you, unless you routinely feed alfalfa, that would not be what I'd recommend weaning those calves on, because alfalfa cattle initially do not like it, and it takes them a little bit of time to get used to it. So on those freshly weaned calves, that's not my best option. If they're used to it already, then it can work really well. But just some high-quality, you know, Bermuda grass, Bahia grass, even some native range, because that's going to be really good in energy. You may need some protein supplement with it. All right. I prefer hand-feeding over feeding in some kind of a bulk bin or something like that. And the reason I prefer that is I can greatly reduce my risk of subacute acidosis, founder, and foot abscesses, okay? Because if you're going to do this, if you don't get it done correctly in that bulk feeder, you're going to have those problems I talked about. And I won't tell you all the stories, but I will tell you there have been several bull sales across the U.S. who've had to cancel bull sale because they did something like this and they didn't get it done correctly, all right? Now, you may have somebody at the coffee shop brag, I did this and those calves gained 3.5 pounds a day. Yeah, and they may do it for that window of time you're preconditioning them. But I would not want to be the person who owns those calves after that in the feedlot because they're not going to perform as well because you likely cause some damage to that rumen wall and that rumen lining. All right? So just because it looks like they're doing really good doesn't mean long term they're going to be doing really good. All right? And when I say founder, this is what I'm talking about. Those toes grow real long, becomes real painful to walk. It's not an immediate thing. It's a thing that takes a little while before you see, even though the problem may have just been 1 or 2 days where we had that problem. I apologize, not the prettiest picture in the world, but I do want to make some points here. So what are we looking at? That's a liver, okay? So this is a normal liver on the left side. This liver on the right side has abscesses. So all these white spots you see, that's an abscess. Where do those abscesses come from? From us not feeding cattle correctly and adapting them correctly. How well do you think they're going to perform with these abscesses? Not too well, okay? So that's why I like hand feeding, and there's some certain types of feed. If you are going to go and try something like this, I definitely want to make sure I had some cottonseed hulls in there to help provide me some rumination and some buffering capacity. All right? I really like when I'm weaning calves, rather than using a texture feed or some kind of a commodity, I really like starting them on cottonseed meal. The reason I like starting them on cottonseed meal is that it's extremely palatable, provides plenty of protein, so that if they're not eating as much as I need them to, that helps keep that immune system and that body functioning. But also, it's much, much safer if they overconsume it. So from a supplementing cattle standpoint, with energy supplements, I got to start off slow and gradually increase and feed every day. With cottonseed meal or soybean meal, I can actually feed that at less frequent intervals because it's so high in protein and not have a problem. So in a weaning situation, are all those calves going to come up and eat the same amount? No. Well, with my cottonseed meal, that doesn't hurt me if one of them overconsumes. All right? So that's my choice always to start calves off on feeding is cottonseed meal. If I'm out on pasture or if I'm on hay. Now, I want the meal rather than that big cottonseed cube because that big cottonseed cube, those calves just don't eat as well. So loose meal in a bunk is going to be my preferred option if that can work. Marketing those? Yes, ma'am. Good question. The question was, during that 45 to 60 days, if I'm feeding them and then I'm going to stop, do I need to gradually decrease them or can I just stop? We can always, regardless if it's a protein or energy supplement, we can always stop them without risk of causing problems in the rumen. Now, when I'm starting, I got to build up, okay? Marketing those weaned calves. So a lot of times I have people say, well, at my local auction market, I don't get any more for a weaned calf. And I'm going to agree with that. And the reason that is because if there's not enough of those weaned calves for those buyers to put truckloads together, they can't pay more for them when they're having to buy these other ones at another price. Now, will you still make money doing it? Absolutely, because what are we doing? We're managing the shrink issue. And if for nothing else, just managing that shrink issue, that weaning can pay, okay? So the way we really need to market those weaned calves is through a preconditioned calf sale, all right? Now, obviously, we could do video or those kind of things. The two probably most well-known in the state of Texas is going to be Jordan at San Saba and then the Net Bio cell over at Sulphur Springs. Those are designed for preconditioned calves. And I will tell you, in those situations, the value of weaning that calf and getting him where he can be sold in bigger groups is typically $80 to $100 a head. Is that worth spending some time and effort? Absolutely. As long as I don't go crazy on feed, I got a ton of extra profit I just made on those calves. All right? Now, if you're selling them on video or something like that, you're selling a truckload lot anyway, there's definitely a premium there for weaned calf sales, just like there was in that preconditioned calf sale. And then some order buyers will definitely pay you a premium for those weaned calf sales as well. You just got to think about where you're marketing them to take advantage of that weaning. And with that, I'll be happy to answer any questions you may have. You're going to be easy on me. So while you're thinking, this website, beef.tamu.edu, is an extension animal science unit group website. It has publications on there that you may be interested in, plus my contact and other people's contact. Yes, sir. Yeah, good question. So he mentioned something I left out, and I apologize. How long do I need to keep those cows and those calves in the next to each other? I'll typically do it 5 to 7 days, but you could move them at 3 days if you needed to.
Can you talk about moving back with the mother?
No, not moving back with the mother, but moving those cows off to another pasture to graze.
What if you want to move them back to another?
You're not going to like this answer. At least 8 months. You know, those weaned calves, they're fine. Coyotes are not going to be a problem with them. I'll guarantee you that, unless one of them's sick or something. Okay, not coyotes just aren't going to be a problem on that size calf. When I say high protein supplement, I'm talking about things like cottonseed meal, soybean meal, 40% cube. So a cube is going to be 38 to 40, depending on how they tag it. Cottonseed meal will be 38 to 40, depending on how they tag it. Soybean meal will typically be about 49% on an as-fed basis. So the question was, creep feeding, what are my thoughts on it? Generally, I'm not a fan of creep feeding. And the reason being is on creep feeding, we'll see pounds of feed to pound of gain will range somewhere between 3 pounds to 45 pounds of feed per pound of additional weight gain. I'll tell you, most situations it's going to be somewhere around 13 to 15. And if I look at 13 to 15 pounds of feed to get an extra pound of gain, that costs me way more than that value of gain was worth. The other challenge with creep feeding is it makes those calves a little fleshier. And if you sell those calves with that extra flesh on, a lot of times they'll discount them just a bit. That's the nice thing about weaning, is it takes a little bit of flesh off of them. And then it's not going to take any pressure off the cow. Now, there are a few times where if I can hand feed some creep feed, or if I have a certain limiter in there, it can be profitable. Yep. The other thing is, creep feeding is not safe like everybody assumes it is. People will lose calves every year creep feeding. Those bigger calves, if we let that feeder run out or change the feed on them, same rumen problems we talked about. There's no advantage there either. You've actually hurt yourself a little bit. So the question was, spring calf and cows in Central Texas, what's the optimum age? And you didn't miss it because I didn't give it, okay? The age will typically range, it's going to be somewhere around 7 or 8 months. But if I got plenty of grass, I don't mind going that eight and a half, even 9 months. So the grass is going to be more what's going to decide that, is grass and body condition score. But typically 6 to 8 months is that window. No, the only time I'm weaning at 4 or 5 months is if I'm short on forage and those cows are not in the body condition I want them in.
You mentioned like calling cattle to, especially if they don't like short cattle grazing. We're probably, you know, 4 hours before they get to that extra
distance. So the great question, her question was, how far can you afford to haul those calves and still make it worthwhile to sell them in a preconditioned calf sale? There's not a flat answer, but what you got to figure is your price per calf. So even if it's costing you $20 to haul those calves and you're getting 80 to 100, I'm still coming out there even when I figure my vaccine and my feed costs on top of that. I would say kind of that $20 is where I look at a lot of times. If it's costing me more than 20 per calf in Holland, I'm going to look at it real hard. If it's costing me less than 20 in Holland, I'm doing it without a doubt. The question was, is it okay to start feeding the cottonseed meal before you wean them to get them used to it? Absolutely, and that's what I'll usually do. So the question is, cottonseed better than baby cubes? And when you mean baby cubes, you're talking pellets. As long as they're a pellet and not an actual big cube, I don't have a preference between those two. It's just hard. You're not, unless you have it custom made, you're probably not going to get a cottonseed meal pellet. The pellets you're going to get is going to be a 12 to 14% protein pellet. Well, no. So either one, if the pellet is a cottonseed meal pellet, okay? If it's a pellet that's a 12 or 14% pellet versus a cottonseed meal, I want to start them on the cottonseed meal. You can, but there's no reason to. Oh, that's the challenge. So her question was, what's the first symptoms or indicators your calf has a rumen problem? Usually you've done damage long before you've ever seen that. So the only time you see it is when it's really severe and they'll stop eating and they just look like they don't feel good, or they're dead. And I said that dead, and I said it kind of jokingly, but that is a serious deal. Hold up before everybody leaves. We got some final announcements to make, and then I'll be happy to answer as many questions as you like right here in the room. But let's have our final announcements.
Okay, let's go ahead and give one more thank you to Dr. Banta.